Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Center Stage is one of my favorite hours because we really get a chance to talk about what's going on in the Twin Cities in the theater, dance, music, all of the scenes that bring us the arts. I don't care if it's sculpture. I don't care if it's paintings. We talk about it right here on WCCO. And I'm excited to introduce to you a show that is playing now through January 26th at the Gremlin Theater. It's called Becky Shaw. Have you heard of Becky Shaw? I've never heard of Becky Shaw. So I was really excited to have at least two of the ladies in the piece join us in studio tonight. So Friday marked the opening of the first show of this new year at the Gremlin Theater. I mean, this is really big for the Gremlin Theater. And so Becky Shaw was the one that was chosen to open it. And with these two stars in the studio with me, Jody, let me make sure I have it, Chelsea Newhart and Olivia Willis. Is that right?
That is how you pronounce
Did
my
I
name.
Say it?
That's very impressive.
No, what's impressive is the spelling of it.
Yes, there's a Z.
What
takes
is,
you by surprise.
Yeah, is that tell me that, how it was spelled that way. Is it part of your
It's episode? Polish. So
Polish.
Unexpected consonants abound.
I just love it. Yeah. I love it. So Olivia and Chelsea, welcome to CCO.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Becky Shaw. What is this piece all about?
Well, we were just talking about it earlier, and really it's a piece about relationships. Mm-hmm. It's about complicated relationships, both familial, romantic relationships. It's about how people navigate these kind of difficult spaces between each other, mm-hmm. and how we figure out, you know, what exists between two people.
Yeah. And just people trying to be them their best selves. You know, it's a dark comedy, which is I think it's difficult for us to navigate, not difficult, a fun challenge for us to navigate, because it's sometimes people behaving badly in a way that's like, oh my gosh, we've all done that. And then sometimes it's people behaving badly in a way that's like, yikes, that's maybe not the road you want to go down, friend.
Yeah, right. So, Jody, I do have it right, right?
Chelsea, yeah.
You're Chelsea?
Mm-hmm. Jody was supposed to be here, unfortunately. The lovely Jody Kellogg could not make it
Chelsea.
Tonight. Yes.
Okay, darling. Strike out Jody. So sorry, Jody. We didn't get you in, honey. Okay. So, Chelsea, the bottom line is for me, this piece sounds really, really interesting. And so when you had to embark upon this, what type of preparation did you guys have to do in order to make this happen?
Yeah, it's a play with a lot of details and a lot of language and a lot of fast talking, like interesting interactions between the characters. So I think just really looking at the text and getting in deep with it and just breaking down those small moments in between the characters is really kind of a lot of what we did in the rehearsals together. Yeah, and just kind of seeing where I could see these characters in my life and then trying to think about situations that I may be able to draw from.
Mm-hmm. And was that difficult for you to find?
No, actually, I think these characters, as kind of challenging as they are and as dark as they get at times, are really relatable. Mm-hmm. And we've been hearing a lot of people who saw the show this weekend being like, ooh, that character reminded me of my ex, or that character reminded me of my mom, or like just people kind of relating based on their own life experiences, mm-hmm. which I think is always exciting because that can start a dialogue between people.
And to be clear, Chelsea, you play the role of Becky Shaw.
Becky Shaw, yes.
Okay, all right. And Olivia, what did you play?
I play Susanna. Mm-hmm. So she, in relationship to Becky Shaw, is, sort of orchestrate this blind date where I'm setting Becky Shaw up with this other person, and everybody loves a fun, awkward blind date moment. There's a lot of very relatable, awkward silences that I think the audience gets to laugh at that we have to sit through and bear, as everyone can relate to. I think what Chelsea said was so spot on about like finding the nuance of the characters. You know, it was fun to be really imaginative about a play. It's a contemporary play, and it's, you know, sort of a straightforward realism. But we got to be really imaginative about, like, who are these people and what are they capable of? Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And why do we care?
Right.
That's always the question in theater, right? Why do we care?
Yeah.
And it is up to you as the actresses or the actors to come forward and make us want to be interested in these characters. I don't care if it's Shakespeare. We can know. We can see Midnight Summer's Dream over and over again, 100 times. Yet when I sit in that seat, it is still up to the actors to make me want to know more about that character. Mm-hmm. You get a chance to go deeper if you want to go deeper, right?
Yes.
Or if the director says, go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the challenge for us. That's why I love theater so much. I love to watch it. Don't want to be on the stage. You know, I have a sister that loves being on the stage of theater. I'm not the one.
Mm-hmm.
So Olivia, in the process of doing this piece, as you kept rehearsing it and pulling it together, what were some of the challenges for you in making sure that your character stood out as well? We know that Becky Shaw, everyone's going to want to know Becky Shaw, but you were Suzanne, right?
Susanna,
so why did we, how did you make sure that we wanted to know more about Susanna?
Well, I think actually it maybe played a little bit to my advantage. We meet Susanna first in the play, oddly enough, based on the title of the play. And I think the first scene of the play actually gave me a lot to work with in terms of specific things about her as a character that I could relate to. She's sitting on a hotel bed watching an episode of Forensic Files like that. And I'm like, okay, I've been there and done that. Excellent. Amazing. Dealing with family drama in the midst of it. Honestly, one of the biggest challenges has been the time of year that we are doing this play,
because,
you know, it's – well, we rehearsed the entire month of December, obviously taking some time out. We took actually about a week off right around the Christmas holiday, and then we took New Year's Eve off as well. And it's just a crazy time in everyone's lives, period. And so then to also be like, and let's make a play was just like – yes, let's focus.
Right. The one time of year when you have very little time.
Right. Yeah. But at least now that we've made it to January and we're open, it's like we get to do this play every night and invite people in, come in from out of the cold, have a beer at Lake Monster beforehand. We're right next door.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good winter
activity. And are you on Tuesday through Sunday or are you?
Thursday through Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday. So if people want tickets, are there still tickets available?
Oh, yeah.
To come see
there
Becky
are.
Shaw? Definitely. All right. All you have to do is go to Gremlin Theater. That's theatre.org. Again, that's Gremlin, theatre.org if you want more tickets. And also, the name of the piece is Becky Shaw. Some people will look at the name of that and go, oh, Becky Shaw, is that somebody we need to go see? You
know,
but it's
I don't
really
know her.
So tell me a little bit more about what this piece is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the plot is basically we meet Susanna.
Uh-huh.
It's a mother-daughter duo whose name are Susan and Susanna.
Okay.
And then,
I needed to know that.
Yes. And then we meet her pseudo-adopted brother, Max, and they have a very complicated family dynamic. And then we also meet the man that Susanna marries. And then within all of this complicated family dynamic, we introduce this Becky Shaw catalyst-type character who sort of shakes up everything and changes these characters' lives.
Wow. In a great way?
I don't know.
In a positive way?
In a way that
great
will not,
is a way
will affect
to
them forever.
It.
Yeah.
Massive.
Great. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. This reminds me of that movie and also a really well-known play, and I can't think of the name of it, where they're trying to – this one guy is trying to seduce the woman who is pure – it's a French name and the English name, and I can't think of it right now. But it's all about Becky Shaw. It is, right? That's the main character.
She's definitely the one who – that's the thing. The play is interesting because there's definitely no, like, heroes and villains. You actually kind of get to see every character –
at their worst.
At their worst. And like at a moment where they are at a crossroads and they make a decision because they think it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the play is called Becky Shaw because of that idea of her being
this catalyst for change. Yeah.
Right? Somebody who comes in and blows up this world. And now all of a sudden all of our lives are like about Becky Shaw. people yeah. have that control over your lives.
What
sometimes.
Have the audience has been saying? Have you had talkbacks afterwards?
We haven't had any talkbacks, but just some one-on-one feedback that like I've gotten from people. It's a very I don't know if divisive is the right word,
I think
but
that's
people
a good
have
word,
strong
yeah.
feelings about it. Like you were saying earlier, it's like the characters are so relatable in a way that people are like they take firm camps of like these are the people that I think are right, and other people are like no, these are the people that I think are right.
Yeah,
and it's really fun. I think people are having conversations afterwards. Of Jodi actually mentioned to me that some friends of hers who saw it were having conversations after the play of like what happens next, like
right.
after
right.
end of play, the mm-hmm. actors bow, like. In the world of these characters, like, where do they go from here?
Right.
It's a play that doesn't answer a lot of questions.
See, that's frustrating for me. If I had been there, seriously.
Yeah.
Because I want all the answers before I leave and then start the conversation.
Yeah.
So if you're starting the conversation, first of all, to say that it's divisive, obviously it's a play worth seeing because we are living in a world that is quite divisive.
Truly.
Right? So hopefully, excuse me. excuse me. I have a little cold, so I apologize. But here's the challenge. We're living in a very divisive, not just country, but world.
Mm-hmm.
And theater has always been that one thing that brings a light and kind of shines a light on whatever that is
mm-hmm.
and why that is.
Mm.
Then the conversation begins.
Yeah.
Is that what happens in this piece? It makes us continue to ask the questions, but did it shine a huge light on how divisive we are today? Do you think that that was a key point in the play?
I think that this play, the reason I really like this play and was drawn to it when I first read it is that it does have the capability to start dialogue between people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a play you're going to come to and be like, oh, that was great. Like, let's go get a sandwich. It's
right.
going to be a play that's like, that was messed up.
Right.
And I need to talk about this. And I think anything that sparks dialogue between people, especially right now when we are mm-hmm. living in this world where people need to be having tough conversations, I think is a good thing.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I love that idea. I'm so glad to hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as you keep watching these audiences come and go, are we talking about children can come to this, or is there an age?
I would say
I'd say 18 and up.
18 and up. Both,
yeah.
Both agree.
There's a lot of language. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of language.
There's strong language. There's adults.
Yeah, adult themes.
Themes.
Adult themes.
Yes.
That's well said, darling. That's adorable, Olivia. They're adult themes. So do not bring your children. Do not bring those young
get
tweens.
Get a babysitter.
Get a babysitter.
But go on a date night or a friend.
Yeah, it's a great like thing to do on like a group date,
yes.
I think.
Okay. And the Gremlin Theater, tell me where it's located. Do you know?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is just over the river in St. Paul. They're on Vandalia Street.
Oh, Vandalia. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the Vandalia Annex, sort of that whole thing of – there's a bunch of like office suites and stuff.
Exactly.
It's a great little space just down the hall from Lake Monster Brewery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and see, I've been trying to figure out this Lake Monster Brewery.
It's
is it open while you guys are open?
It is.
It's a good night.
Yes.
Yes.
So
go have
get
a little Lake
before.
Monster. Yeah, exactly, right?
Yes.
And go see a really great show. How many characters are there? Is it just three or is it a bunch
it's
of
five.
You?
It's five.
It is. Five of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So small cast.
It is.
Has it made you a close-knit cast?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
We're having a really good time, and we get to – I mean, the five of us and our director and our stage manager, it's like we get to kind of have the conversations that the audience is going to have. Like we pick our camps and we, you know, have our allegiances and we get to, you know, have our own decision about the characters as well.
Yeah,
have you ever done a show like this? A play like this?
I've never. I mean, I was actually just talking to Ellen Fenster, our director, tonight about this, where it's been a very unique experience for me since I've been out of school, like an acting program school. When we're in school, we're always, you know, given really rich, challenging text, really rich, challenging characters that are like a stretch for us and encouraged to – you know, be challenged. And this has been challenging in a way that that nothing since I've been out of school has been. It's challenging in that audiences are reacting really differently every night, every performance. It's challenging in that, you know, it's a lot of text and it's strong characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if people don't necessarily know, Chelsea, how to begin the conversation when they leave there
mm-hmm.
because they feel inside of them they need to talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How would you recommend that conversation start? Because that's a problem we're having in our country.
Yeah.
How do we know How do we know what to say to start the conversation, yeah, to make sure that all voices are invited into that conversation?
Sure. I think a good conversation starter after this play is, which character were you rooting for?
Mm.
And I think that's a really revealing question, yeah, because we have five very strong, very different characters and personalities in this play. And I think whoever you form an allegiance to probably says something about your life experience and the way that you view the world. Mm-hmm. And I think all people are going to have different answers to that question. And I think it would be great for groups of people to get insight into each other and their different views of the world by kind of starting to figure out whose lens they were viewing the play through.
Right. Final question. If there was one question you want to make sure the audience ask or is answered, what would it be in Becky Shaw?
Mm. Oh, my.
What do you say, Olivia?
One question that the audience asks, mm-hmm, or gets answered.
Yeah. So if the audience says during the play, something wasn't answered for them.
Yeah.
Is there any question that stands out that people have said, why didn't you deal with this one piece?
Mm.
Why didn't we hear this? Or why didn't we know this?
I definitely think, and I hope this is an answer to your question, I think that we walk away with there's a crossroads of like, do you accept the person that you quote unquote are, like this stereotypical characteristic that you have, or do you decide there's a different kind of person you want to be and like you really commit to being that person? I think for my character in particular, Susanna, she finds herself at the end of the play at that exact crossroad of like, do I just go on this road of like the person who maybe I'm destined to be, whatever
right,
that means?
And that makes it the perfect way to end the piece because
right,
that's where the question is going to continue.
Exactly.
When they get ready to leave. That's
right.
Perfect. Well done, Olivia.
Thank you.
Chelsea Newhard and Olivia Willis, thank you so much for coming in studio
thank
to talk
for
about
having us. For
Becky
having
Shaw.
Us.
If you want more information, just go to Gremlin Theater with a T-R-E at the end .org/Becky Shaw. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:40 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And we are excited tonight to present to you Ryan V. This is the music of Ryan V. I'm sorry. Is he on yet? Okay. There you are.
Hi.
How you doing, Ryan?
Pretty good.
Okay, so is this the name of the band? I want to make sure I got this right. Is it Braver?
Yes.
Why not Brave?
Good
Why
question.
Braver?
Good question. Because we're braver
than the others. Okay. This was formed in 2011, so you've been together for a while.
Yes.
Which is really quite impressive. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on that. Your trio has released two full lengths, an EP, and a short film called Ghost Cop that they wrote, directed, and starred in along with their friend Kurt Radke. Kurt Radke. Parker, is his name Kurt Radke Parker?
Parker Thompson was our,
played
drums
right?
with us for many years.
Mm, this was not written well. So sorry about that. So Parker left several years ago and Danny Barstead?
Yes.
Okay. Joined on drums. Now, circumstances like parenting, moving, having forced the band to call it quits, but not before their final album and one final show. And that's what we're here to talk about tonight.
Yes.
So tell us more about the band. You guys have been together all this time, and now you're thinking about closing it down?
Yeah, it just sort of naturally went that way. We had been very active for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and all of us became dads. It became harder to get together and play. And now Danny, he's moved to Texas. He's there right now. So he's coming back to get his dog. And play a show.
And say goodbye.
Yeah.
So you thought you said goodbye to him earlier, didn't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, musicians, we never really leave. We just keep coming back.
We're just going to start
different iteration,
else.
Right?
Yeah.
So what will happen after this big show at 7th Entry?
We're just going to keep playing music.
Yeah.
As far as the stuff that we've did so far, we're done with it. We're sick of it.
So you're going to completely change what the band sounds like. Are you changing the name?
Yeah.
What is it going to be now?
People wouldn't come to the show.
Right. Well, that's true. But after the big show, what are you going to call it?
I was thinking Licorice Dracula.
I don't even want to talk
about
it.
Nobody likes it.
I mean, really, Ryan?
Yeah.
You're kidding me, right?
I want a name where people look at the name and they say,
we know what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild.
New favorite band.
Are you really serious about that?
No.
Because
no.
There's so
well,
much in a name.
Nobody else likes it.
No. Yeah, but there's so much in a name, right? Mm-hmm. So I love the name that you had that you're now giving up. Braver. Braver
is actually from when I had just met Lupe, who sings and plays guitar. And we were just talking about video games, and it's actually from the game Final Fantasy VII. And it was just one of those, like, common ground things. And we just, like, liked how it sounded. So
Well, that's how
we're not brave at all.
Well, that's how a lot of names come to be. Mm-hmm. You just like it, something you saw or a character, something that inspired you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. What's inspiring you for the next iteration of this particular group? Are you going to start all over? No, you're going to keep a couple of them.
Yeah, well, the new album that we're working on, I really like, and I am sad that we're, you know, this show will be the only time that we're going to get to play
those songs.
But yeah, it's kind of the direction that I want to go in, and we're just going to keep playing.
So you're going to keep playing new music. It'll be some new musicians eventually. You may have a new name, but the music you want to keep playing.
Yeah.
Boy, that brand is going to be a challenge, but not impossible, that's for sure. There have been others that have done the same.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the show at 7th Entry.
The show at 7th Street Entry, it's next Friday, the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Doors at 8, mm-hmm. Show at 9.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing all the songs, like the one from the full length, as well as the EP? Are you just letting the fans hear everything?
We're doing a good mix of all of it.
Mm-hmm. And are you bringing back some of the musicians that were a part of it before and they are no longer?
No.
Oh, why?
I didn't have time. We barely have time to meet, do anything. So
So you guys just kind of got together and said, we did this album, let's at least release it, get it out there, break up, I'll start something else. That's what you're telling
me. Well, I think we're still going to do stuff together, but not, it just won't be Braver.
It just won't be Braver. How will we know who it will be?
You won't.
Come on, can't you tell me now?
It's just me
and you.
Slate.
It's just me and you in the studio.
Okay.
You can
we're not
give
recording
me the
yet.
New name.
We're not on the air.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah,
thank
you're
God.
Live. You're
okay.
Live, honey. So,
oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. But come on. We can ignore everybody else that's listening. Just tell me the name, the new name.
There isn't one yet.
Oh, man. Seriously?
Yeah.
So if
it's
I
like
want to come
most
to
fun
you.
Part of it. You know, the music is, making the music is okay, but coming up with the name is the best part.
So the song that we just heard, what is that called?
That is called I Get When You Die.
I get when you die.
And that's another video game thing. It's like when you're a kid and you're playing video games and you want your turn and you say, I get when you die.
Mm-hmm. I see you have the Beastie Boys shirt on. Are you a big fan?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what inspired you to put the band together or, you know, that particular
Not
band?
Really, but,
no?
I always just kind of liked how they've done all sorts of different styles and I always liked that.
Well, I'm excited for you to be releasing a whole new album.
Thanks.
Your fans are going to be really thrilled about it, I'm sure. Are tickets still available for you?
Yes.
And how do they get them? Do they go to your Facebook page?
Yeah, you can go to our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Or
which is Braver, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the 7th Street Entry website also.
Okay, and tickets still available?
There's so many tickets available.
Oh, really? Seriously?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't care.
No.
That's the thing. You don't care.
I'm thinking about taking out a big block of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it on credit, max out my credit card, sell it out.
Sure. There have been those that have done that, by the way. There was a time in this city that we actually got paid to play in the clubs. And now there are some clubs that'll say, hey, here's a stack of tickets. You got to go sell them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys having to do that for 7th Street?
Is
that a blessing? Every time, my son lives out in L.A. I lived in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And it drove me crazy. I would go hear a band and they'd, you know, can you please buy a ticket from us? It was just sad.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun because I know a lot of our friends that have supported us for so long and coworkers and people who have come out to shows and even if they don't care for the music, still come out and have been so great for us.
You know,
so I think, you know, it's going to be really nice to see everybody there, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I've never had you on my show before, Ryan, so it's nice to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan V is his name. The name of the band is Braver. This is their really final show, final album.
And forever. Gonna,
forever and ever.
Mark my words.
I don't
no
believe
reunion
you.
No reunion shows.
I don't believe you at all. Not at all. But it is happening on Friday at 7th Street Entry. You don't want to miss it if you're into this music, because what we just heard a moment ago, I know plenty of people that would love to go. So congratulations to you for the final album.
Thanks a lot.
All right. There he is, Ryan V. We're going to take a break, come back, tell you about some other shows, some shows that I had a chance to see, which I'm really excited about. And guess who's back in studio with me tonight? Jonathan Lowe. Jay Lowe. Hey, honey. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:50 here at WCCO. Our final guest is in studio with us. His name is Jim Hoare. And I don't know if you've ever heard of his music, but if you love music like this, you hear this? How cool is that, right? You just feel a little more laid back. I know you had a stressful weekend. Just get a little sip of wine or something, you know, old-fashioned, and listen to this CD. And you will love seeing Beasley's Big Band. That's what this is called, Beasley's Big Band. And they have a running gig on Thursdays at the Wabasha Street Caves in St. Paul. I have a girlfriend that had her 60th birthday party at the Caves and fell in love with it.
Oh.
I haven't been there in forever, Jim. So it's really great to have you in studio.
Well,
welcome.
Thank you. So it's a blessing to be here.
Okay, so nearly 30-year run of the group.
Mm-hmm.
That is just huge. Right? That's a really big deal.
It is.
How have you stayed together? Or have you had a bunch of people in and out of the band?
The core has remained the same. When you look at the cover of the CD, you'll see a gentleman by the name of Chuck Beasley. He's from North Minneapolis, and he's the founder of the band. And about three quarters of all the music we play was custom arranged by Chuck.
No kidding.
Yep. A North Minneapolis proud, Phyllis Wheatley House and the whole nine yards.
Oh, Phyllis Wheatley.
One of my dearest and best friends. He started the band. We all met in the North Hennepin Community College Big Band. We met in the late 80s and we said, hey, we love your music. Can we start a band? And that's how it started.
The picture on the back of you guys rehearsing and all of that, is this in a recording studio like NPR? Or is this
that
a
is the actual large rehearsal studio in the Minnesota Opera. So that's the that's the Bemis studio. And that's where we actually recorded our latest CD.
Well, it sounds wonderful.
Well,
it must
you.
Have been difficult to try to figure out what songs you were going to record.
We have a new musical director now that Chuck, we lost Chuck, unfortunately, to cancer in 2010. And I do think of him often. And he just said, if you keep playing, you can keep the music. And so we're still around. And our musical director, her name is Carmen Plunz, and she's our lead alto. And we just said, what's the theme? And we are a band that likes to emulate the Count Basie Orchestra. So we got a thing for Basie.
And that is so back right now.
Oh,
it really is. You know, everyone's
it's always
having
been
those
for us, but we we love it.
Well, people are having the Great Gatsby kind of parties during New Year's, and so it's really back. Are you getting phone calls, people saying, hey, we need you? You know, come play at this party, come play at this venue.
We do a fair amount of weddings and also some corporate parties, particularly around the holidays. We don't do New Year's like we used to. I wish we could gig a little bit more that way. But, yeah, our gig at the Wabasha Street Caves, which is not every Thursday. It's the third Thursday of every month. So
it is next Thursday,
January 16th. So love for people to come. But that's really the main conduit, how people find us out.
And is it the entire Beasley Band?
Yeah, it is a 18-piece big band.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
So you look like you're having a ball. What do you play?
I play the bass trombone, and I'm also the business manager for this unruly group of people that I dearly love.
I hope they're listening.
Oh, I hope they are, too, because we are like a family. We've been together forever, and we argue like a family, but we also stick up for each other like a family.
Yeah. Now, a lot of the songs on this particular CD are very familiar, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at it, All of Me, Blue Skies, Tea for Two, so many. Are there any originals on here?
I don't believe the prior CD that we released probably about a year and a half mm-hmm. ago. There's an original composition called Blues, and it's actually from our old piano player. He and Chuck used to play in a lot of clubs in North Minneapolis, and a guy came up one time and said, hey, man, you play any blues? And so we do a song that's an original song called Blues, but unfortunately it's not on the CD that's in front of you.
You got me over here looking for it, and you don't have it on here.
I know, but I'll give you a copy of that CD. I would love for you to hear it.
Will you sign it for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Deal. You got a deal, man. Mm. All right, Jim, I've never heard of this band. I'm really excited about it.
Oh.
And I'm, you know, I want to look up Beasley and find out who he was and what he was to North
Minneapolis.
Because Phyllis Wheatley was like the heartbeat of North Minneapolis.
His story is so rich, and he actually had to
go to the South to be able to teach music. He went to MacPhail, and then he went to North Texas University. But he couldn't teach up here. He had to teach in black colleges in the South. So he was in, I believe, in Kentucky, Tennessee, Louisiana, and Texas.
How about
that? And then he came back. And, yeah, I met him when he was a little bit later in his life. But, one of my dearest friends stood up in my wedding. But he arranges music, and I never knew what it meant to be an arranger until I met him. And he actually, back in the day, he lived in New York, and he across the hallway shared an apartment. Across the hallway was Billie Holiday.
Wow.
Back in the day in the post-war era.
So. Well, you want to go check them out on Thursday the 16th, I believe you said.
Yes, ma'am.
And again, this is a running gig every third Thursday at the Wabasha Street Caves in St. Paul. Jim, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Absolutely.
And before I let everybody go, I want to let you know there are a couple more shows I want to tell you about. Of course, Mamma Mia continues through February 22nd at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, till February 15th at the Old Log. Another holiday show is still going till January 10th. How about that? Hark, the Church Basement Ladies Sing at the Ames Center. Also, the Cactus Blossoms Monday at the Turf Club. And I had a chance to go and see some great Christmas shows this year. I had a chance to go see Phantom of the Opera, which is perfect for Christmas. Didn't finish out the show, but had a blast. Heard the song that I wanted to hear. Had a chance to go see the New Standards. Unbelievable show this year. Absolutely fantastic. Of course, you came to see the Steels, and we want to say thank you so much for the two shows that we did at the Fitzgerald Theater. You were there, and you are the reason why we sing. So thank you for doing that. I also had a chance to hear a little bit of More by Four's Christmas show. I didn't get to see it, but I heard a little bit of it. They are still phenomenal and doing great work. I had a chance to go see the Elf the Musical over at Hopkins Center for the Arts for the State Theater. Sandy, thank you so much. Let me tell you, that was a fun show. I took my granddaughters, and they loved it, and they took pictures with the cast afterwards, and it was just a blast. So if you didn't get a chance to go see any type of shows this year, I am begging you next year to make sure that you get out and see as many holiday shows, because you will continue in this great spirit of the season. No matter what's going on in the news, no matter how depressed we may feel, go see as many shows as you can. Go listen to the music. I went to go see the Blenders concert. Oh, my gosh. Ryan was like a ballerina. He was amazing in this thing. So if you get a chance, go see as much as you can. And if it's only one show, pick that one show that you know will lift your spirits and bring as many people as you can. And if you're the only one that can go, how lucky are you? So the holidays are over. It is time for us to stay awake, pay attention to all things that are going on, and there's a lot going on. But when you need to, as a dear friend said to me recently, let's dance, play the music, sing together, and simply dance. I promise you'll feel much better about it. Thanks to all of our guests in studio tonight.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.